worship, and you are God, and we worship. How many believe that this morning? You are God. Yes, you are, and we worship. Oh, you are, oh, yes, you are, and we worship. Oh, you are God, and you are. Believe you, God, for you are God, and we worship. I made up my mind. I made up my mind. I will bless the Lord. Hey, I will bless the Lord. Hey, I will bless the Lord. Woo. I will bless the Lord. Come on. I will bless the Lord. Woo. I will bless the Lord. Yes. I will bless the Lord. 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 I will bless. Come on. I will bless the Lord. 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 Hey! I will bless the Lord. Made up my mind, yeah, that I will bless the Lord. This is how I fight my battle. Woo! 'Cause this is how I fight my battle. Yeah. This is how I fight my battle. 'Cause this is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. Woo! 'Cause this is how I fight my battles. I made up my mind. Yes, that I will bless the Lord. In the midst of my storm, I will bless the Lord. For you are God, and we worship you. You are God. Yeah. And we worship this morning. You are God. Come on, somebody bless him this morning. And we worship you. Oh, you are God, Jehovah. We worship you. You are God, Jehovah. And we worship you. You are God. And Omega, and we worship you. You are God, and we worship you. Come on, somebody bless his name this morning. For you are God, you are God, you are God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, you are God. You are God, you are God. We worship you. You are my Savior. We worship you. Hey, you are God. We worship you. Somebody break it down, and you are God. And we worship. Wherever you are this moment, wherever state of mind you're in, wherever location, you can just lift your hands and worship God for yourself, by yourself, and give him the glory, because he is God. He is God. He is God. He's our God. worship, 'cause there's nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want, Lord, is to be with you. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you, oh God. Nothing like your presence, oh God. All I want is to be with you, for you are God. Yeah! And we worship, yeah. And you are God. You are, you are, you are. We worship. You are, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are. We worship. You are, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are my Savior. You are God, and you are God. And we worship you. Come on, somebody give God some crazy praise wherever you are. Give him some worship. Give him some adoration. God, we bless you. Hey, God, we praise you. God, we lift you up, because indeed you are God, the Most High. Hallelujah. For you are God, and we worship, 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 and we worship. Now wherever you are, somebody just proclaim this morning that you are God, and we worship. As our pastor take over.
Amen, amen, amen. For he alone is God. Just play a little bit for me, Brother Zoe. For he alone is God, and we worship him. We thank him for all of his goodness and his mercy, which fail not, his compassions, which are new every morning. Come on, can you worship him with me this morning? If it had not been for the Lord that was by my side, I can truly say that I wouldn't have made it. If it had not been for God, who was making ways and opening doors, if it hadn't been for him, amen, amen, amen. Sometimes he had to reach in and pull me out. But I am so grateful on this morning. Father, we salute you in the awesome name of Jesus. We magnify you, dear God, and we love you with all of our hearts and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our being. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you for this new day in this new year. Thank you, Lord. Gave us another chance, gave us another opportunity. So many went into the judgment on yesterday, on last night, but God, you allowed us to see a day that we've never seen before, and we thank you. Thank you for the spirit of worship. Oh, that men would worship. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we ask, dear God, that you will be in the midst of our service on this morning, that you would use us, that you will anoint us, dear God, that you will make this word plain, dear Father, that God, we would glorify you through your word. Holy Spirit, you are the great and awesome teacher. I decrease now, that you would increase in power and in might, that God, your people would be blessed, that Father, that Lord, that they, dear God, will eat this whole roll, that God, it would be sweet like butter in the lips, that God, it would be the light for their course and the lamp for thy direction for their feet, that God, they would come from this setting saying, Lord, what must I do? In Jesus' name, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you in the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Greetings, my brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank God for allowing us to see another day. Amen. This is the third day of the new year, and we made it through. Amen. We might have had some lumps and bumps aside the way, but we made it. God was with us. And so we are grateful, not because we were good. Oh, no. It's not even because we deserved it, but because God is good. And so we thank him on this morning. I'm grateful for all who are connected to Zoom on this morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior. I pray God's highest blessings upon you in this day. Amen. Can everybody just type in amen? Come on. Amen really means so be it. So can everybody just type in this morning, amen, so be it. So be it unto God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Woo. Brother Zoe, you always take me there, and I thank God for you. I thank God for your ministry. Amen. Before we start this morning, and I'm going to say it now because, you know, when you get older, you tend to forget a little bit. Amen. But on yesterday, amen, I found out that my good friend, Elder John Dawson, lost his mom. So I called to let him know that I stood in agreement with him, that I would be praying with him, and we would be praying for him. And he said, Pastor, who plays who's the maestro of music over at your church? And I said, Brother Zoe. I said, Brother Zoe's still there. Thank God for him. He said he played on last week. He had just lost his mother and tapped into the service and said, Brother Zoe was praying like there was a whole congregation of people. And so I thank God for that on this morning, that our ministry is not bound by who's here or who's not here, but our ministry is unto the Lord. And when we plan it that way, God gets the glory. And so we thank God for that on this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our scripture this morning will be found in the book of Philippians on the third chapter. Amen. The third chapter of Philippians, verses 13 through 14. According to the King James Version, which reads, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so our subject on this morning is preparation for the prize. Amen. Our subject on this morning is preparation for the prize. Amen. My parents were from the South. They're from this little town called Fairfax, South Carolina, and they practiced many rituals in preparation for the new year, which in their mind would ensure luck, blessings, and prosperity. Early on the new year or New Year's Eve, my mom would send us to the grocery store, list in hand, purchasing items needed for the feast she envisioned for the first day of the year, which included fruit to ensure that we would have a prosperous year. She would make sure there was no chicken on the list because she believed it would make your luck fly away. We would have black-eyed peas and collard greens and pork products. We would have my grandma's buttermilk biscuits and crackling cornbread. And don't forget the fruitcake. I love fruitcake and sweet potato pies and cakes. Each item had a significant meaning. Amen. And so the house was cleaned from corner to corner, and everything had to be spotless. We had to ensure that there was no dirty clothes in the house. And by the time the new year rolled in, we were truly exhausted. My brother had to go out of the back door and then come into the front door on New Year's morning before the women came in. My sister, or my mom's sisters, would know not to come by before my brother came in the door. My mother did not participate in gossip or foolishness. She wouldn't allow it, especially on the first day of the year. She would make sure that we had a couple of dollars. She'd give us each like $2 or $3, thinking that would ensure that we would have money all year long. And her sisters and their families would come later, and we would have the best fun. Again, thinking the way you start the year was how you were going to end the year. Amen. So I don't even think that people practice those procedures anymore, especially to the extent that my mother did. But I do believe we need to reflect on where we are on our spiritual journey and how close we are to the blueprint that is outlined in the Word of God. And we are diligently pressing, or are we diligently pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 1:10 says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will, or you shall never fall. So first we have to establish what is the prize. Each person who competes wants to know, why am I doing this? For you see, the preparation process is so tedious. It's painful. It takes focus and great dedication. At the park where my neighbor and I walk, there are two groups of women who work out with trainers. And one is preparing for the Olympics. They do that every year and have done so for the last 5 or 6 years. They're runners. And so the trainer sits in a chair and he times them. You can hear him yelling, pick up the pace. Come on, one more lap. Or that was good, but you can do better. The other group of women who are on the other side of the track, they are doing more strategic exercises. And although I would love to join them in my mind, I would love to join them because it looks like fun. But I remember that their workout is not my desire. It's not my focus. I understand my goal. And so my first point to you would be this, that your goal may not be my goal, and your path may not be my path. And some are called to preach to this group of people, and some are called to preach to another group. And it doesn't mean that your ministry is greater or better. It's just different. Paul was called to preach to the Gentiles, and Peter was called to preach to the Jews. Amen. And so both of them had powerful ministries, but it was to two groups of people. So as I am working out with my friend, and we're just fast-paced walking, we're just talking, we're just laughing, we're just enjoying the view. The people that are working out, they're doing so for a totally different purpose. And I thank God for that. And so my goal, as I said, is so different from theirs. And so in order to complete the workout, not only do I need to know what is my purpose, I need to know what's the prize. So Jesus Christ is the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, that I may know him, that I may embrace his righteousness by faith. Heaven is my goal, and my aim is eternal life. Paul has used the analogy of a runner who focuses on the goal ahead of him. And this prevents distractions and stumbling. So when you know what the goal is, when you understand what the prize is, it will prevent distractions and stumblings along the way. As a part of the process, Paul reflects on his past life. He has achieved great and wonderful things, had great confidence in the flesh. He was circumcised on the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, prosecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. These things were valuable for any man under the law. Each worked diligently to achieve such a resume. However, Paul says in the end that it was all dung. Says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the great loss of all things, that I may win Christ. So Paul began to, after he had given his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he began to look over the things that he had accomplished. And as I said, these were wonderful things Paul said at the feet of Gamaliel. I mean, he was said under one of the greatest teachers in all of Judaism. He had been prepared, he had been trained that he would be the next rabbi. And that's a wonderful thing. But as he was, looking over those things, he said, none of these these things matter if I was to lose Jesus Christ? He said, it is all loss. It is all dung. It means absolutely nothing to me. Paul was taking an introspective view of his life and decided the things he once held onto were very valuable, but they did him little profit in the kingdom of God. In order to run efficiently, since now we know why we're running, we know what the prize is, in order to run efficiently, you have to examine what you're wearing, amen, and what you're carrying. Does it hinder or does it help you? After a few blisters on my heel, I realized I was wearing the wrong sneakers. I had on too many clothes. I did not work out before our 2-mile journey. And so in order to run this Christian race, you have to shred some stuff. Get rid of the things that may have been very profitable to you before. There was a time when I had a great desire to go to Drew Theological Seminary, and I proudly submitted my paperwork. I had a great GPA and was scheduled to graduate in May and thought to enroll in their September classes. And I was shocked to get a letter of rejection after much digging and the assistance of my professor. And then the professor of Pillar College, who had many acquaintances at Drew, I had to complete 21 additional credits, 21 credits that I didn't know anything about. And so I had to now complete these credits. It was a shock. It was a blow. I'm telling you, it took me a whole weekend to get over that. I was determined to achieve my goal. Thanks to Elder Mike and Brother Eugene, I submitted my coursework and graduated with honors with my class. I had learned a hard lesson. Drew was where I wanted to go, but it wasn't where God wanted me to go at that particular hour. It was my plan versus God planned. And so we have to look at where we are and what we are doing. And then we have to ask ourselves, am I operating in the path that God has elected for me? Or am I running off, going off, doing something else that somebody else will hit me on the back and say, good job. So it was my plan versus God plan. Leaving these things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before us. Amen. Whose path are you following and what are you carrying? All of us have excess baggage. And if we don't, you know, if we don't look at it, if we don't get rid of some of it, we're not going to run this race carrying all the stuff that we have effectively. We'll never be able to finish. And so, as I said, when I started running with my friend, I had on these cute little sneakers, you know, and they were all sparkled up. And they was really, really cute. But after a couple of weeks, let me tell you something, my feet hurt so bad. They were wonderful to walk in on it, going to the grocery store, walking around my job when I was working. These were wonderful sneakers, but they were not good for walking a 2-mile journey every day. I had to think about the clothing that I was wearing, because even though it was cold outside, that wonderful coat was too much for me. And so I had to put on just a long sleeve silk undershirt and then put on a hoodie on top of that, because all that other stuff was wonderful in another situation, but they was holding me down and I was not able to run my race. And so we have to look at what it is that we are carrying. And there are all shapes and sizes of excess baggage. My baggage may not be yours and your baggage may not be mine. So they're all different shapes and sizes of the baggage. Some of the biggest pieces are regrets of the past. Perhaps it is clear to us that some of our decisions in the past cost us dearly in life. And it is easy to say, what if? Especially if the present isn't so pleasant. So let me break it down. So sometimes we're doing what we want to do and then we mess up and then God will forgive us. Thank God for forgiveness. But we have to bear the consequences of those things that we have done. And so what happens is I could have got stuck in the fact that I didn't get to go to Drew. Oh my gosh. I could have felt like a failure. I could have felt like, I said, forget this whole thing. This is not even worth all the time and the effort that I'm putting into this work. I had to complete these 21 credits in a week and a half. That was rough. And I could have said, you know what? I'll just do another semester with my class. And if I had said that, I probably would not have finished because I would have been sabotaging the goal that I had of graduating with my class. So a lot of times we get caught up in bad decisions that we've made, and then we get caught and we stay there and we don't push forward. And so we're always talking about what if and how is it? I could have and I would have and I should have. And we now, we do not finish the path that God has set for us. So Paul could have rested in the fact that he had been instrumental in the death of so many of Christian believers. And although I believe he never forgot it, he had to move forward. Amen. He had to keep on going in order for him to be successful in his Christian ministry. In our early morning discussions, Elder Mike asked the question. He said, what if the thorn was Paul's guilt and his shame of his past life? And I said, you know, that is something to consider. Elder Mike continued to say that, you know, what if that he had to carry this thorn with him everywhere he went? Because everywhere, people are trying to figure out what the thorn was. Some people said it was the fact that Paul had lost his sight and all kinds of different things. But Elder Mike made me think of it from a different mindset, that Paul had all this guilt and he had all this shame because he said, of all the apostles, I am the least of them all. But God answered. This is what I love about God. God answered and would not allow Paul to stay there. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so we may not accomplish all that we have set forth to do in our life, but when we bring those things before God, I'm sure he would say, my grace is sufficient for you. Looking at your baggage today, are you holding on to something that hinders and prevents you from moving forward? And only you can answer that question. Are you stuck between where I was and where I ought to be? Are you caught in the middle of, if I had done such and such, I would have been much further down the road? So you have to look at your own baggage and you have to say, you know what? In spite of all that I've been through, that was a lesson learned and I'm going to keep on going. We have to learn to surrender all of our consequences, everything that we've done, good, bad, or indifferent, into the master's hands. Forgetting what lays behind, whether good or bad. Forgetting what lies behind, whether good or bad. It means to get settled once and for all in the fact that, you know what? I might have made a lot of mistakes, but I'm not going to stay there. I told you that I used to have a nursing home ministry. And so in the ministry, I love it. God always prepares us not for where we are. He prepares us for where we are going. And y'all know the story how I got to the nursing home. I went there just to visit one of our church mothers, and I wasn't planning on never going back ever. Right. And so as I got there, this mother began to cry and say, I was praying, asking God to send somebody who sing the songs that we sing in our church. And so I stayed there for about 5 years ministering and to the people who now was living at the nursing home. One particular Saturday morning, a young man came in and he began to cry. Amen. And so as I'm standing there and I'm asking him, what's wrong? And he said, you know, God called me to pastor. He said, but I didn't want to do that. He said, there were some other things that I wanted to do. And so what I did was I went on in my direction. He said, and I'm listening to you and you're reminding me of what I have given up for and what I have settled for. My life could have been completely different if I had followed the will of God. God has a pattern for bringing a future. And so I said, or building a future. So what I said to him was, I'm not going to be here forever. You know, pick up where you left off. He still believed in God. He still trusted God. He was still reading the scripture. How do you not know that God did not place him there so that he could use him for what he wanted to do in the future? God has a pattern for building our future because he knows the plan that he has made concerning us. We look at one another and we size one another up, but you don't know the plan. You can't tell my story like I can tell my story. And it might look pretty beat up and pretty bad in the beginning, but I'm believing in the end, I am going to get the victory in Christ Jesus. And so when we look at it, God has a pattern from building a future. It applies both to our natural future as well as our spiritual future. That pattern is this, that God always builds on rubble. I don't know why he does it, but he always takes a life that's pretty jacked up and then he turns it into what he wants to use it for. Remember Peter the fisherman? I mean, he was a cussing somebody. Remember the tax collector? In order to be a tax collector, if you were not a Roman citizen, you had to pay for it, right? And so what they did was they had to put down a large amount of money to pay to become a tax collector. It's not like it was today, like it is today. It wasn't a job. And so what the tax collector did was to get some of his money back. Now he would overcharge the people for what their taxes were. So if your taxes was $1,500, he would charge you $2,400 because he had to get some of his money back. And the people understood that he was cheating them. So they hated him. But look at God took that life and turned it and made it what he wanted it to be. God knows how to use rubble and make it something spectacular. He takes what we consider trash, he repurposes it, and then he uses it for his glory. Somebody should say amen right there. Amen. Somebody had a song that said, and I was singing this song all day yesterday, said, I might not be the best of anything. I might not be the best at anything, but I thank God that I am a child of God, because he takes bad beginnings. He takes messed up childhoods. He takes all kinds of stuff, and then he molds it and shapes it, and then he perfects it, and then he uses it for his glory. I'm so glad that God likes to take trash, because if he didn't take trash, a whole lot of us would have been lost. So we look at people and we frown at people and we make, you know, we make our decisions concerning people and we say what they can't do and what they won't do. But the thing that you don't understand is that God knows where the crack is. And so what I mean by that is that all of us, some of us, most of us was cracked in our young childhood ages. Some of us went through some stuff. Some of us were neglected. Some of us was thrown aside. And God takes that life, molds it, shapes it, and then he sends us out there to tell somebody else our story. And when they hear the story, God gets all of the glory. Come on and give him a hand praise right there. I went to minister to this couple on yesterday who had a horrific situation happen to them. And so I went over to talk to them on yesterday. And so when we got there, you know, the house was, oh my God, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And it was almost like God said, don't get caught in this. I want to show you something. And so as I sat there with this beautiful couple who was telling me their story and tears began to fall and them saying, we got a long journey to go. We're just at the beginning, but every day gets more horrible or horrific than the day before. And I'm telling you, it hurt my heart. But I'm telling you, as they were telling me the story, I began to tell them what happened to me a long time ago concerning my child and telling them how I had set down, here it is, a cup of tea. I put the cup of tea down and went to lock the door. He wasn't even a year old good yet. And I went to lock the door, which was even like, you know, what was maybe like 2 feet. It was short, you know? And when I turned around, my baby had the cup in his hand, burnt him here, all down his neck, all over his shoulder. And I began to tell them, did I put it there for it to happen on purpose? No, mistakes happen. And so I thank God it wasn't good when it happened. It wasn't good, the things that he had to go through. But what made it wonderful was that God could take that story and turn it around and get the glory and bless this young couple that I was ministering to. So he loves to take messed up stuff. Ah, Jesus. He loves to take messed up stuff. stuff and use it. Because guess what? If we were who we wanted to be, then we would not be able for God to use us. You take a mean vase, it's beautiful. In order to transform it, you got to break it. Then you got to collect all the pieces. And then you got to melt it down and then bring it back. And still, it will never be as good as it was before. But God takes us in our situations, in our messed up situations. He breaks us down. He puts us in the fire. He repurposes us and uses us like never, ever before. Somebody ought to say glory right there. When we receive Jesus, we are given eternal life within. Our old nature is put to death in Jesus, and we are imparted with new life, resurrected life. So when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, now I know why they used to sing the song, "My hands look new and my feet do too," because God now transforms our life. And instead of looking at death, he now puts a resurrected life. He puts within us his spirit. The fundamental part of us is what is born again. The rest of us, our mind, our will, our body, and our spirit is not yet born again. So here we go. And so because those pieces are not yet born again, they do not want to die. So guess what? Come on, we're gonna get real over here. You know what? I still have the ability to cuss you out. I do. But because of the resurrected life of Jesus that lives on the outside, on the inside, that is not my desire. Amen. I used to smoke a long time ago. And every now and then, when I get a real good mood, a real good meal, I'll get the craving for a cigarette. And I have to say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you, because that's not who I am anymore. That old man did not die, but nor did it cease to exist. Neither is it changed. They will continue to act the way it has always act, unless you yield them to the new life. That means you got to kill it every day. That means you got to present yourself before God in prayer every day. That means that you got to let the word of God, which is the washing agent, get on the inside of you and wash you and make you whole. That means that you got to submit yourself to God's authority and say, that which I would do, I will not do anymore, because it is not in the will of God for my life. So you have to take off some stuff, take off the old man and put on the new man, so that God could get the glory out of your life. Oh my God, that's what it means to overcome. And let me tell y'all something, okay? We're not, because we gave our life to the Lord Jesus Christ on yesterday, doesn't mean that we are perfect now, but we are going on to be perfected. That means that we still have some bumps and we still got some stuff along the way. My husband says, you never say I'm sorry. Ooh, I'm learning to say I'm sorry. He says, you know what? Sometimes you don't do such and such. And I'll be like, ha, ha, ha. And then I got to realize that, guess what? That old attitude ain't dead, Christine. I'm spoiled. I am. Not only did my mama spoil me, but my daddy did. And now, you know, my brothers and sisters did. But now my children do too. You know, they make sure that mama got just what she needs. But let me tell y'all something. I got to bring that spoiled little kid under the authority of God so that God can get the glory. Because I want to say some stuff sometimes. And then God will say, no, 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 no. Now, you know that ain't right. And so you got to bring it under the will of God every day. Bring the old man to Christ every day. It has to die. Somebody said to me one time, said, I need the old man. I said, well, then that's the problem. Because the old man will never give God the glory that's due him. The old man wants all of the glory for himself. So despite the fact that our new birth is totally finished, it is not a stagnant life. It has to grow. It does not do the whole work at the time of conversion. That means that you have to grow. You have to mature. What's my favorite scripture? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It has to birth forth and emerge from the bondage of the old creation, from being governed by all that is of the old creation. It has to now transform itself so that the new man will be seen and the old man will be seen less and less. And that's a battle. Come on, tell somebody that's a battle. Through the process overcoming, the old man always wants to govern us. It always wants the authority. It always wants to develop the old sin, the old sin. It always wants to present himself because that's the way it is. So if we don't kill the old man, what happens is it causes decay. It causes a filth. It causes a smell. It causes all those things that should have been put away with a long time ago. So if you don't take out your garbage, perfect analogy. If you don't take out your garbage and you're constantly just throwing stuff in it, you're constantly just filling it up, you're constantly just doing what it wants to do. After a while, it starts to smell. And so the old man has to be discarded and it has to be done every day. Think about this snake. Right? Think about the snake as it begins to shed the old skin. The snake then wiggles and rubs on whatever it can in order to discard the old and move forward in the new. And so this is exactly what happens to us spiritually. Inside of us, the old man doesn't want to die. It fights for control, will fight for dominion. That is where the press comes in. So the scripture says, I press. So what happens is now my flesh fights for dominion, the spirit of dominion over the spirit of God in me, the desire for the upward calling must increase. So the old man doesn't want to do it. So now there's always this war. There's always this fighting. There's always this back and forth. The longer we're saved, you should see a decrease in the fighting. But in the beginning, it's always fighting and always pushing and always wants to do what it wants to do. And it always wants to have what it wants. Sometimes I don't feel like walking. I really don't. And sometimes I'll even say to her, I don't feel like walking. And you know what? This little lady, she's 70 something years old. She's so precious. I don't even have the heart to tell her that my name is not Christine. And so she calls me Christy. And so she calls me every morning, Christine, we're going for a walk, right? And I want to say so bad, not today. But you know what happens is that I know that she's there all alone. I know that her family is in South Carolina, the other part, or North Carolina, the other part of her family is in Georgia. She has no children here, no grandchildren here. So I understand that the walk, which is good for me physically, is great for her spiritually, right? And so I get up and I go anyhow. And so I understand that that's a good thing, because if I didn't have her, I wouldn't walk. We all got to have that one thing that motivates us, that keeps us moving, that keeps us going forward. And what is that one thing? That thing is that, oh, that I would see him. See the smile upon his face. I was telling Elder the other day, man, when the brother died on last week, his name's gonna come to me. When he died on last week, could you imagine Rance Allen? And Rance Allen was a blessing to us here by his music. But when Rance Allen died and went on into the judgment, could you imagine the angel say, oh, here come Rance? Because it knew that, you know what? Now he obtained that crown that he had been living for. So I ask you on this morning, what are you preparing yourself for? That's a good one right there. So no matter the preparation, no matter the baggage, no matter the fight or the struggle, we must continue pushing, continue pressing, never satisfied with what we have already achieved, because the things that we achieved in the flesh, it's all gonna burn. Y'all read the scripture, said that all those things are gonna burn. And guess what? What are we gonna have left? So Paul says that I must fight, I push, I beat my flesh and I bring it into submission. I push in spite of my humanness that I may see him. That's my goal. That's my hope. That's my desire. That's why I'm living this life. That's why I'm denying the old man. That's why I'm correcting my language. That's why I'm learning to go back and say sorry. That's why I'm trying to live according to God's will and God's desire, that I will see him, that he would be proud, that he would say, here comes my baby, here comes my daughter who has walked up right before me. My brothers and my sisters, I must ask you on this morning, in this third day of this brand new year, are you looking over your life? Are you looking over the last year and saying, that was good, but guess what? I must go further. Are you looking back and say, I may never get to Drew, but I want to get to heaven. So I understand that I got to cut this out, got to cut this out, got to cut that out. And so when I was young, we used to say the Christian journey is a boring life. Sit in church a couple weeks. You will find out that, my God, it is not boring. Reading God's word is not boring. Walking and talking with God is not boring. You know what? As I was walking, I began to notice the other day, I was able to put on sweaters that I hadn't been able to wear. I was able to put on skirts that I had. I have one favorite skirt in the closet. And you know, it's a dumb two hand skirt. So I ain't gonna never give it away. Right. So I have a dumb two hand skirt. I have it just folds up in the closet. So I decided to try it on the other day. And guess what? I was able to button it. I was like, looking. I was able to pull it all the way down. And so what I'm saying to you is that you may not see a whole lot of growth overnight, but if you keep on pressing, if you keep on fighting, if you keep on pushing, if you keep on giving your life over to the Lord, if you keep on saying, God, examine me, examine my motives, see if I'm in the faith or not. God, here am I. Forgive me for my sins. Plot out my transgressions. Here am I. Purge me, wash me in the very blood of the Lamb that I may be clean. On the last day, Paul said, I fought a good fight. He said, I kept the faith, but he was ready to pass over because he knew that, guess what? He had now accomplished his dream. He had accomplished his goal, and his goal was that he would see Jesus Christ. So I believe I asked the question, where are you in this journey? And where are you in the process? Are you living according to the will of God? Or are you still trying to satisfy the things of the flesh? It's not going to let go that easy. It's going to be a fight, but you can do it. Every day is going to get better. Every day is going to get sweeter. You can do it. And let me tell you this, as I'm going toward my conclusion, the enemy is not going to let you get there without a good fight. So every morning, the scripture says, watch and pray. And so that means that we got to keep our eyes on the cross, but we got to watch what goes on in our surroundings so that God will be glorified. My brothers and my sisters, what a wonderful day that God has given us to live. What a wonderful journey that God has set us on. But don't get tired now. As I'm walking around, sometimes, you know, I'll say to her, I say, you know what, Miss Barbara, I need to sit down for a little while. And she'll say, okay, Christy. And she'll go ahead and she'll do that one round. And then she'll come back. We've done four rounds now. And now I need to take a break. And she'll say, go ahead. But when she comes back, she'll say, put your mask on. Come on, let's go. We got to get on the journey. Because if you stay on the sideline too long, you may never get back in the race. So my brothers and my sisters on this morning, our subject was in preparation, you know, and as my mom did all those crazy things or crazy in my mind, you know, she obtained the prize that she had the Thanksgiving day or the Christmas day. I'm all lost in my holidays, but she had that New Year's day that she wanted. How's your New Year starting off? Let's start it off with Christ. We're going to be going to our fast in a few days. And in the fast, let's bring those things before God. Our attitudes, our temperaments, let's bring them before God. Our dispositions, how we treat one another, let's bring them all before God so that God can work on those things in us, that he will perfect us and that we will come out on the other side, obtaining that prize in Christ Jesus. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for your word on this morning. I thank you, dear God, that your word tells us to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith or not. Your word tells us as we're setting forth our calendars and getting our New Year's resolutions in order, but it's telling us to, how are we working on our own soul salvation? So God, examine us. We ask that you would forgive us for our sins, blot out our transgressions, make us holy, make us pure, make us clean in the very blood of the Lamb. Forgive us, dear God, for those things that we knew to do and we didn't do, and those things, dear God, that we just willfully refused to do concerning the things of God. Forgive us. Make us over. Make us whole. Make us holy. Take us back to our prayer times. Take us back to our early morning reading. Take us back to the times that we had, dear God, as we were sitting before you, before other things got in the way, before we got too busy in this time, dear God, of COVID, where they're telling us to stay home. And we're looking at, some of us are looking at it like, my God, that's horrible. That's a wonderful thing. God now is reestablishing our time with him. Help us to use it wisely. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the people of God say amen and amen. God bless you.